Thank you. Yes, so I grew up in the northeast of England. I came from a very, very small, very small hamlet, about 20 houses, a couple of farms, a post box. That's about it, not a lot else. My best friend, still today, he's a farmer, so lots of farm work as I was growing up, messing around on the farm. He was quite into banger racing, so we used to mess around in beating up old cars. Yeah, so great childhood, actually. But I don't come from a Christian family, so church didn't play a part at all, really. I went to a public school, so we used to go to chapel every morning before school. So, yeah, we had a sense of God, but at 8:30 in the morning, teenage boys all trundling off to chapel, it wasn't really something we enjoyed, looked forward to, so it didn't really have a great effect on my life. But probably the first time I got a sense of God and the power of God and how God can use people was when I was in the sixth form. And one of my friends, it was a boarding school, one Sunday he jumped off the balcony in the centre of the school, killed himself. So we all came to school Monday morning and were told by some of the prefects that this boy had killed himself the night before. And in their wisdom, the school contacted her brother, a monk, proper monk. So he came during that week and talked to everyone. We had a chance to speak to him and just talk about Matthew and how his death had affected us. And I just got the sense of peace that I'd never seen in anyone before. Just calmness. And this calmness just came over everyone in our year. This boy was a very popular boy. Everyone liked him very, very much. And we were devastated. The whole school, our year, just this boy, we'd seen him. We used to have to go to school on Saturday morning. And I'd seen him on the Saturday morning. He was going to his chemistry class. I was going to my A-level French class. And he was awful at French at GCSE. So I just joked to him, oh, do you want to come into our French class? And that was the last time I ever spoke to him. And it just had devastated everyone. I was only 16, 17. Never, luckily in my life, I'd never experienced death, never lost anyone. And to suddenly come from a weekend into school and find that your friend's dead was, yeah, devastating. But this brother Michael, he was called, just calmed everyone. His peace and his love that he showed to our year was amazing. So that was, I guess, the first time in my life I'd really seen what the Holy Spirit can do, how he can go into people and just give calmness and just, yeah, this man, he was a monk, so he dedicated his whole life to God and Jesus, and yeah, amazing, very powerful. So when I finished school, I went off to university. God still not really playing a part. I guess I've always had a belief, but I didn't go to church and carried on, did my degree. My degree was in German, so I spent a year in Germany and I was teaching in a secondary school. So that's where I got my love for teaching. And then I finished university and I had no direction. I didn't know where I was going, what I was going to do. And then I saw an advert for VSO, Voluntary Services Overseas. And they were looking for volunteers either to go to China or to Rwanda in Africa. And China, had never really interested me. But for some reason, that even till today, there's no earthly reason why I picked Rwanda. So I was sent to Rwanda for 2 years initially to teach English in a secondary school. And I just remember my very first lesson, there were about 30 kids in the sixth form. And because of all the problems that had happened in Rwanda, this was 5 years after the genocide. So the kids were from 18 right up to 30. At the time, I was 22, so not very old at all. And I was stood in front of the class, much like today, very nervous. And at the back of the class was this big lad, very tall, very serious face. And I was trying to tell my story, tell them a bit about England. It was my first lesson at the school. And this lad said, "So, what method are you going to use to teach us today?" "I don't know. I've got to use this nice blackboard and I'm going to shake a lot. I was stumped. I don't know." These kids know what they're on about. And so I carried on with the lesson. And then after school, I was just walking up, going to town, I think. And I saw this lad. He said, "Hi, Richard, that was a great lesson." I said, "Really?" And he said, "Oh, come and I'll see you maybe later in the evening. Come and we'll have a drink or something." And this guy is called MX. He was and still is in the army. And he became my best friend. He was my best man at the wedding. And we went for a drink. And we went to a drink. Lots of people, there weren't just bars. People used to sell beer from their front room. So we went to this house, sitting down. And I was with MX and another teacher from the school, the sports teacher, called America. And we were sitting there. I know, yes, nice name. We were sitting and got our drinks. And there was a lovely young lady. And my friend said, "Oh, see her, she really likes you, you know." I went, "Really?" And, of course, they'd said the very same thing to her. See that boy? He really likes you. And, yes, so I said, "Why don't you go and talk to her?" "Okay, go on, off you go, talk to her." And off we went, and the lovely young lady sat at the back there. So, MX really was a great influence in my life in Rwanda. He, not only did he push me towards Anik, he also looked after me. There were several volunteers working in the area. And often, they'd come and visit me. And several times, volunteers were robbed on the way to our house. And I said to MX, "Oh, I'm a bit worried about all these robberies that happen. I don't know if I should be going into town on my own." And he said, "No, don't worry. They know you're my friend. They won't touch you." And true enough, I lived in Butare for 3.5 years, no problems. So MX led me to Anik. He looked after me. So he worked as the hands of God. And also he was the first person who took me to a church in Africa. And it was an amazing experience, completely different to what I'd experienced before in the church. In chapel at school, very calm, we sang, we listened to a reading, we prayed, we went. In Rwanda, for the people who've been, it is an experience. It's amazing. Singing, whooping, hallelujahs, amens, just nothing I'd ever experienced before, and it shocked me. And bongos, yes. And I was, oh dear, I just didn't know what to do. Can I ever go back to church? This is just, I don't know. So it took me a long time, actually, to go back to a church in Rwanda because I was just, I'm not a singing and dancing person. I'm very calm. I came from, as I said before, a very, very small hamlet. I'm an only child. This just blew me away. So, it took a long time. But I think I finished in 2002, left Anik in Rwanda, came back, eventually found work down here in Folkestone. And every summer I went back to Rwanda. And Anik really started pushing me. She said, come on, Richard, you need more in your life. What are you doing with your life? You need to accept Jesus. So you're coming to church. So I thought, here we go. So I went to the church in Kanombe where Anik went to. And this time, I wasn't allowed just to sit at the back and be bombarded by the bongos. I had to go and stand at the front. Which, oh dear, that was... But I don't know. Somehow, I got the ability to do it. And I know that that came from God. And that really... Things started to make so much sense. Everything that happened in my life beforehand, I realized it wasn't just luck. It wasn't just me who's created everything that's happened. Everything has been part of God's plan. And the people, Brother Michael, Amex, Anik, have all been the hands and feet of God in my life to lead me to Jesus. To lead me in 2004 to being baptized in Lake Muhazi, full immersion. Amazing. What an amazing experience. And I've been blessed. I've been blessed with people who have been the hands and feet of God. And even today, I can see people in this church who, for my life, are also hands and feet of God, who, by their testimonies, by the way they conduct themselves, are the hands and feet of God. And for me, I think the most important thing now as a Christian is to realize that perhaps I can also be like Brother Michael, like Amex, like Anik, for someone else. I can be the hands and feet of God. So I need to remember when I conduct my life that I must be a good example. People must look at me and think, wow, that's a Christian. Also, and this came across, I think we've already mentioned it in a meeting about our men's book group, that we should never miss an opportunity to talk to someone. Somewhere there's a Richard who needs just a push. Thank you.